They came back from abroad. They'd been away for quite a while after the death of Brian Epstein. And they came back and presented me with 33 songs, which they all wanted to record at once. And literally, I mean, they said, well, you know, you've got another studio. George Harrison can go in one studio and I can go in another. I was running from one studio to another, doing kind of executive role.
That's George Martin, Beatles producer. And as you know, his son Giles has taken over the reins, remixing and remastering the Beatles catalog with his assistant, Sam O'Kell. The two worked tirelessly on the new remastered remix of the White Album, and I can attest to you the greatness of the result. Next, Giles will run down his process after we hear an unbelievable alternate version of one of the songs Ringo sings on the album, written by John. It's Ringo on take 10 of Good Night, with guitar instead of orchestra.
Come along now. Put all those toys away. It's time to jump into bed and go off into dreamland. Yes, Daddy will sing a song for you. Are you ready? Now it's time to say good night. Now don't ask me why. Now the sun. Hold. Daddy went a bit crazy. Daddy.
Good night, take 10.
It's time to say good night, good night. Sleep tight. Now the sun puts out his light. Good night. Sleep tight. Dream sweet dreams for me.
Beatles Brunch. I'm Giles Martin.
We had the privilege of remixing, myself and Sam, Sgt. Pepper last year, and it was incredibly nerve-wracking for both of us, but we were delighted with the results, and it came out and the fans were happy. And that brings us into the White Album. It was recorded and approached in a very different way for the Beatles. Sgt. Pepper, they were trying to paint pictures with sound, and the White Album is a much more visceral, much more blank canvas for the band. It's a bizarrely eclectic album of so many different textures and tastes in it, which is typical Beatles. But the one thread that the White Album has, which we're trying to continue in what we're doing here, is bringing the listener close to the music, bring them into the studios. With Pepper, we had the mono standpoint of the band, and we knew what they wanted to do. With this, one of the biggest challenges is you can't make the White Album sound too good and too hi-fi because it ruins the spirit of the White Album.
Comparing remixing this album and comparing Sgt. Pepper, this has definitely been harder because there are fewer layers. The production is more stripped back and more simple. That's obviously what they were going for, not layering up lots of sounds.
The fascinating and great thing for us on something like the White Album is there's 30 different tracks and they've been recorded in different places, each one of them very different, and each one of them sounding different. And that, in a way, is what we have to embrace when we're doing a project like this.
There's no template, is there? That's the thing. There's no two tracks that are the same.
She's well acquainted with the touch of the velvet hand, like a lizard on a window pane.
In remixing this music, it's kind of about having a detail in every part of what we're doing and always referencing the original mixes and the original tapes. So that kind of journey starts right back with one of the original session tapes. So this is Blackbird. That gives you the information about the number of takes and lovely detail of the four tracks, showing you've got a mic on Paul's foot tapping. So the first part of our process is to get the best possible transfer of these tapes.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life.
We're obviously trying to retain the character, whatever makes these songs special. So we go back to the original bits of kit. So these Fairchild compressors down here were one of the arsenal of tools that Jeff Emmerich and Ken Scott, the engineers, used to create kind of extreme sounds. They'd push them to their limits. And also these Altec compressors were specially modified by the EMI engineers and had and still have a fantastic sound. So we've used those in our remixes to get the same character. And also mixing desks. This is the same type of mixing desk that was in Studio 2 and in Studio 3 during the 1960s, with all valve preamplifiers on the input and output stages. So they have a very certain characteristic when you overdrive them. So we've used all these original period effects, which we still have here at Abbey Road.
The White Album came at an interesting time for the Beatles because they had almost gone off creatively in different directions after Pepper. A lot of people talk about the White Album being a sort of dysfunctional album. However, what we found from going through the tapes is actually the sessions were in really good spirit. I mean, throughout. There was a bond with the band that was going on. There was a relationship and there's laughter on the tapes.
Love's fair and noise. Invite you to.
I can't make it.
To just enjoy us.
I can't make it.
And it was a different process with the White Album. I think they felt free. It was almost like the lunatics taken over the asylum, and they felt they could do whatever they wanted in the studios, and they did. George Harrison tells a story about my dad, George Martin, walking in when they were doing Savoy Truffle. He goes, "It sounds a bit bright, George." He goes, "Yeah, I know, and I like it. So basically, get out of my bedroom." And that's the spirit of the White Album. That's what makes it so great.
Why don't we do it in the road?
One of the biggest discoveries we found looking at the White Album was the Isha demos. And basically what happened is the Beatles went to George Harrison's house and they had their own tape machines and they demoed pretty much everything for the White Album acoustically with each other recording. On top of that, the way the Beatles recorded the White Albums, they did numerous takes one after the other. So Sam and I have been through, you know, I think there's over 100 takes of Sexy Sadie, for instance. And so what we have for this box set is we almost have a complete progression of a number of songs in their different iterations. The Beatles had a thread, they were always good, but they just did different takes, and then they found the right one. The track Glass Onion was demoed early on and developed as a song. The demo version that John did, the style of it is similar to the others, very acoustic. I mean, you can tell the natural performances they have.
I told you about strawberry field.
And again, double tracking himself.
Well, here's a place you know.
So this is done before they go into the studios. This is before coming to Abbey Road. They then come to Abbey Road and record as a band. And this take here, the reason why the voice is quiet is because he's singing along. For the band, the intention is he's going to replace his vocal later. And so once they're happy with the take and once they've arranged the song in the right way, they end up with the final version, which is similar. But you can see it has more drive and the band are playing tighter.
Well, here's another clue for you all. The walrus was Paul.
And so by listening through the iterations of the song, I mean, they're all good. I mean, the Beatles could play and they could sing. that it also just gives anyone listening an insight into their creativity. Even though they did now write individually, when they came together as a band, they all chipped in and then they all came up with the final sound. They wanted to go back to being a band again. Pepper was very consciously creating something new, and the White Album was going back to This Is Us performing.
Giles Martin and Sam O'Kell running through some of the songs and selection process for presenting the 6 CDs and Blu-ray of the Beatles' White Album, a double album, an immediate bestseller. It charted number one when it was released and remained at the top for 8 weeks. More on the achievements of the White Album coming up, but coming up next, the Beatle, who in my opinion comes across as the most focused on the album.
The music is better for me on the double album because I'm being myself on it, you know.
We'll hear him tell us one of his favorite tracks from the White Album and play Take 14 for you. When the Brunch Continues, brought to you by Discover Card. Get your free credit scorecard with your FICO credit score, even if you're not a customer. Learn more at discover.com/creditscorecard. Limitations apply.